This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee, and we have Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm with us this week. Jay Hood, ESPN 1000 on assignment. Although if you want to catch his thoughts, of course, you can always listen to him on Sundays, Busted Open Radio, Sirius XM, 9 to noon Eastern Time. Also, maybe just go back to our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling, as we had a live reaction show after Monday Night Raw and their debut episode on Netflix. Speaking of which, Broitz, Roman Reigns, once again, is our tribal chief. As he has the Ulafala, he is going to be returning to Netflix on the 27th of January, as they are going to have some sort of celebration, maybe some sort of direction for Roman Reigns. And it's an interesting spot for Roman because, well, he's heading into a WrestleMania season where he's not the world champion. Happened in forever, it seems. So we thought we'd have a little bit of fun here kicking off GKW by fantasy booking and trying to figure out what Roman's WrestleMania path is.
So I agree with you about it's so weird that he's not the champ. I need to look it up. When was the last time we had that?
I mean, it had to have been heading into the pandemic mania in 2020 because he came back later in 2020
right. And
then won the championship. And well, until last year's mania.
Yeah, 38.
The last time we went into a WrestleMania with no Roman Reigns as champ, Rob Gronkowski was potentially a WWE superstar. Like, that's how long it's been.
That is insane. And then even looking through just the main event, Roman has been in the main event of every WrestleMania except two since the year 2015. The only ones he weren't, like you said, the pandemic one and then the one with Becky and Charlotte and Ronda that got the main event. So that was 2019. That's a long time.
So I think the first question then, based off of that, because I thought the same thing about how many main events he's been in, some kind of felt unjustified, you know, a little shove it down your throat. Yep. Recently, obviously, I would say very much justified because the bloodline's been the thing, not just in WWE, but professional wrestling. So I guess the first question we have to ask is he going to be in the main event this year?
I don't think so. And the reason I'm hesitant is because what we talked about the last few weeks is Dwayne involved? Because if it is Rock Roman, the only way that match can happen is in a main event spot.
Correct.
And
that's not starting off the show like they did on Monday.
That's not a 9:30 Eastern either in the middle of the show. Like, that is ending it probably night two. So that's the big if right now.
You can remove probable. That is ending night two. Rock Roman, like, there's no doubt. Like, there's leave no doubt.
And that's, like, part of me, like, the Raw Netflix thing, then he appears on NXT, like, makes me side with you that we're not going to see him in the ring, which feels like a disappointment because he erased everything from last year. He was nice to Cody, and then he made a joke about it on NXT. But, like, it seems like Final Boss heel Rock is not a thing anymore until he knows he can wrestle. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I did see one, and I can't remember who tweeted it, but I did see one theory out there that because Netflix was such a reintroduction of professional wrestling to a lot of people, and a lot of people want to cheer The Rock,
sure. Right?
A lot of people want to cheer The Rock, so they had him be babyface, but we'll get back to the Final Boss badass, you know, heel that all of us professional wrestling fans love in appearances going forward. But I think that was also then, like you said, then when he appears, although he did drop a couple of F-bombs on CW. So even though, because he appeared on NXT on Tuesday and was basically doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It makes me think that at least for now, this WrestleMania turn, that ain't happening. We're not seeing.
Especially because Monday could have been that face promo that, hey, we know this guy, we want to cheer from him without mentioning Cody. He could have done all that. He could have done all the ass kissing, could have done all the raise the eyebrow, play the hits, and we're going to cheer for him. But then you mention Cody, and then you're drinking with him backstage and doing all that stuff that you almost wipe out all of what we saw in 2024.
Yeah, the fact that happened on TV, I didn't like it, right? Like, I know, I mean, look, it's professional wrestling. I know that some of the good guys and bad guys are probably buddy-buddy behind scenes, right? Like, yeah, that's going to happen. I understand that. But for it to have it happen on camera, that means it's now a part of the show.
Right.
So And I know they tried to bury the hatchet a little bit on the Mania, the Raw after Mania last year. But even then, there was a little bit of tension because Rock allegedly gave back the Rolex watch that
right.
was made for everybody that was in night one of the main event at WrestleMania with that tag match. And there was still tension there despite Rock almost kind of giving a blessing as he walked away last year around Mania. So that tension still existed, and now it doesn't. So again, that brings us to Rock gone, not a part of WrestleMania. So how do we move forward then with Roman?
So because of that, that's where the Bloodline story I don't think is done yet, because I feel like it's never going to be done. I do think we still get limited Roman appearances. He mentioned January 27th. The Rumble's February 1st. I think Roman is in the Rumble. I think that night announces he is in the Rumble. Because he's Roman, you think, I think he's going to win. I think he gets eliminated because of some Bloodline stuff. And because it's not going to be the main event, I think Mania is Roman versus Fatu. I think he has earned that opportunity. They have teased those interactions without doing a full thing between those two. We know Jacob Fatu is a star. Solo has done a good job. Jacob Fatu is better, though. I think you put those two, doesn't need to be the main event, and it's a hell of an opportunity for Fatu to shine.
So I think that makes the most sense in terms of not getting him to the main events, because I agree. I mean, it doesn't feel like Roman's going to be in the main event, even though he still is, to me, the biggest star WWE has. But, maybe they decide, okay, we're going to put Cena and Cody in the main events, on night two. But I just can't shake Roman versus Punk. But the problem with Roman versus Punk is there has to be a championship involved.
Right.
Has to be. Has to be, because the only thing that makes sense for those two to fight each other, like based on the character motivations, which I know are now important based on the way Hunter tells stories. Like if this was the Vince era, you could just throw it out the window. But with Roman, the only thing that matters for him, championships and obviously like inter-family drama that he has to take care of. So that's where the Fatu thing I think makes sense. And then for CM Punk, the only thing that makes sense for him at Mania at this point is fighting for a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's trying to leave all the pettiness behind. He's here to make money and win championships. And that's been his goal since day one. And I don't know if you're going to be able to drag out Rollins Punk all the way to Mania. So if it's Roman versus Punk, someone's winning a championship somewhere, and those two have to go head-to-head. And because, again, the only way Roman Punk makes sense is if it's for a championship. And the only reason and the only way for me to make all of it also make sense is Roman is a champion going into Mania.
Right.
Because then Punk is cashing in the favor that Paul Heyman owes him. Because if Punk is the world heavyweight champion, let's say, going in, like, he's not doing Roman a favor. He doesn't owe Roman. It's the other way around. So I don't know if Roman somehow gets involved. It is not in the Rumble and somehow instead gets involved with Gunther and ends up winning wins the World Heavyweight Championship from him. And then it becomes Roman Punk because now the Bloodline is cool with Cody Rhodes and they're just going to let him do his thing. I don't know. I think that's the thing that makes the most sense. I haven't connected all the dots on quite how we get there, but I think Roman Punk makes a ton of sense. Like, because I don't think you can even do like a traditional, like, oh, Punk eliminates Roman in the Royal Rumble.
Sure.
And that's why they end up fighting, which is, a pretty classic WWE storyline. But that just still, for those two, don't seem to make a ton of sense.
I agree with you on all that part. It's just the getting there that gets tricky, where if Roman takes it off of Gunther, that feels dirty and that feels Vince-esque, where it's the guy that busts his ass year-round, like, oh, the part-time celebrity's here. Hey, Punk, you got to drop it to Dwayne. Like, he's going to be in the big spot now. Like, that's what that feels like. And that doesn't feel like Hunter's WWE, but, I mean, I guess it could always be Suede. And then Cody, like, you already did that. And you just lose a lot of steam if Cody ends up dropping it to Roman also.
Unless Cody drops it to KO,
right.
And then Roman beats KO, it's a short reign and it gets back to Roman. And then we get to Roman Punk. I don't know. I
don't hate that route. I've been a big advocate of KO should win the title. I don't need it to be a long run. I've always said he drops it back to Cody. if he wins it early February, drops it, I think late February is Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. Where is Elimination Chamber this year?
Canada somewhere.
Oh, it's in Canada. Okay.
Well, that makes it tricky also because KO is going to be a face there then.
This is also really exciting, I think. The fact that we can't necessarily connect these dots, because last year we couldn't connect the dots accidentally. We were connecting the dots until... And even like I saw somebody trying to be, and again, we're going to talk about Hulk Hogan later. Someone trying to like write revisionist history when it came to Hulk about what happened on Monday and tried to do that with Dwayne. Dwayne was never actually booed by anybody.
Right.
Like that was just an internet thing that happened over the weekend, because when Dwayne initially took Cody's spot on that SmackDown on Friday, the crowd was going crazy.
Right.
Nobody was going, "We want Cody." No, that started online and on Twitter as a hashtag. And then it just grew so much that by the following Thursday, when they did that special thing in Vegas,
yeah,
they just flipped the whole thing on its head and got Cody back involved. So like at no point was Rock booed during that to kind of flip it. But also, but again, that happened so fast, so we couldn't connect those dots. There's just so many balls in the air right now. They could go a number of different directions. Because here's the other thing. I have no idea what Gunther's direction heading into WrestleMania season is either. It's not like he was featured. Technically, in terms of live camera time, Cody Rhodes, who isn't on the show, got more camera time than the champion of Monday Night Raw, who just got a quick little vignette package to introduce him as the world heavyweight champion of this show during everything else that was going on Monday night.
Yeah, and that's the weird part right now, because we've talked about a lot in terms of the Mania main event. I remember when we started this show two and a half years ago, it was Roman, and then it was everyone else. There was a big drop-off in terms of what you wanted to see on a day-to-day, weekly basis when it came to WWE product. There are a lot of characters and a lot of guys and girls right now that are busting their ass that deserve to main event Mania that you could intrigue and be like, oh, I'm into that. So Roman doesn't even need a main event spot. And that's why I wonder if like maybe they just keep him away from it. You put him in the mid card, you make it a big deal. He can still do a half hour intro and we call it a day there.
But the problem is that Roman Punk, there's money in. Without a doubt, yes, there's money
100%.
In. And you never know with Punk.
True.
Right? I think we've talked about this, whether he was in AEW. And I'm not even just talking about like the behind the scenes stuff with Punk, right, you know, Punk being a malcontent stuff. I'm just talking about his body breaking down because he's an older performer at this point in his career. So I wonder if that's something you're like, okay, we can always come back to Roman versus Punk, because there's always going to be the through line of Paul Heyman. Like that favor is always going to be out there. So if you decide to come back to it, we might not actually ever see it based on injury and timing and things like that. So I don't know if you want to pass on that right now.
Fair also, because with your path, like you can protect Punk. Like Punk doesn't have to win the Rumble in this situation. It could be even a short run in the Rumble. He doesn't have to do anything in Elimination Chamber. It could just be like, hey, I've got this favor, and we can only see one or two Punk matches. And he was great on Monday, but how many more of those does he actually have?
Yeah. And again, I'm hoping that he's not going, oh yeah, I feel great, let's do this every week. I'm hoping that he doesn't do that and Hunter decide, yeah, you did look great, let's do more of that. I'm hoping they keep him kind of that special attraction at this point where he's only wrestling in big time moments. He can still be there every week and can still come out and cut promos, you know, kind of similar to what Roman, you know, was basically his entire run as a champion, where he was there, he wasn't wrestling on free TV, but he was showing up and he was going to cut those promos. If you had to pick, again, because I still only think there's only one main event of WrestleMania. I guess I'm old school this way. What's the main event of WrestleMania as we sit here in early January?
I think it's the faces of the company. I think it's Cody Cena.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too, and I feel like that's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, I agree. Like, but
That feels like last year felt like wrestling fans were taking back WrestleMania.
Yep.
Cena versus Cody kind of feels like, oh, it's not for me, WrestleMania.
Yes, that is the shareholders. That is it. Like, hey, look, Netflix executives are here, like we saw on Monday. It's like, who's cheering for that? Like, who cares? Like, we don't know who these guys are. Like, what does it matter?
I mean, I'm glad you gave them a championship belt up in their box. Like, that's cool, I guess. Could give them a Netflix, you know, custom side plate, but, you know. Those are just the little details that I guess I care about.
I feel like they're so businessy now that like that's what it is. And we'll get our little nuggets. We'll get our moments where you'll have some, you know, wrestling matches that steal the show and that are great. But yes, by the end of Sunday night, it's like, all right, I could have turned this off a half hour ago.
Yeah. Hopefully, again, there's a lot of exciting things, a lot of different ways they can go, and we're on that road to WrestleMania right now. We dive into the other three stories that we want to talk about today on GKW. We call it the three count here on the show. What do we have at number one this week, Brian?
All right, we had the live reaction on Monday Raw on Netflix. It was an action-packed week of pro wrestling going back over the last 6 days. Friday Night SmackDown, Wrestle Dynasty, Wrestle Kingdom, Collision, Raw on Netflix, NXT, Dynamite. What was the best wrestling show of the week?
So first of all, I think Dynamite was fantastic last night. The casino gauntlet match, and they're running back a women's one next week. I think that is just a genius gimmick match that they've come up with on AEW. Pretty much anything with the casino stuff that they've done has always been fun. And
I'd say this is a really fun match. The best wrestling, like innovative match in a very long time. I love that concept.
Yeah.
You don't know how many people, you don't know the time, you're trying to get the one fall. Like, it is really well done.
Yeah, because it could end at any given time just because all you need is the one fall. Right. So it's really cool. It's really fun. And then again, you're kicking off a show with Ospreay. You're ending a show with Kenny. You have that in the middle. Like, there were just so many good things. Pretty darn good women's match with the Toni Storm, who can't remember a damn thing. I think there were a lot of good things last night. I still think at the end of the day, I still think Monday Night Raw ends up being the best show because it's just the most memorable, right? Like, you had a lot of different things happen. And because it's such a pivotal moment in the history of professional wrestling, and you have so many people show up and you pull out all the stops, and I think Raw ends up being the best show for me.
That's interesting to hear you say that, because like, we were all positive about it on Monday, but then you step back and like, we got four matches in 3 hours, and it was a lot of clutter. It was a lot of like, hey, look, we're great, patting ourselves on the back. That, I don't know, it's just sort of underwhelming, I guess, from a wrestling standpoint.
From a wrestling standpoint, without a doubt. I'm just saying, like, I still am just weighing the gravity of being on Netflix.
Sure.
And I know, and I know Hunter, like, in every interview, like, I think he used a different network in every interview he did. I think when he was on McAfee, he's like, oh, nobody says it's CBS and chill. Like, I mean, first of all, dude, like, that... That's like a, you know, almost a decade old joke at this point, right? The whole Netflix and chill thing. So just kind of shows you how time is catching up to good old Triple H. But it is such a big deal. And I was talking about this with a teammate of mine in the ESPN Milwaukee offices. Of every once in a while, this teammate will come in, check in. Oh, what's going on in world professional wrestling? But because they have a Netflix account, like, you and I have, you know, on our DVRs. Yeah, we had Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown and all the different wrestling shows, right? Like, those are just sitting there. And now he, you know, it's Alex Stroph, for anybody with ESPN Milwaukee, host of Mr. Irrelevant and the producer of KBN. For him now, it's just so much easier to keep up with professional wrestling. He's got a Netflix account, and maybe he doesn't watch live every Monday night. But now on Tuesday, he's sitting at home and just going, oh, what do I watch on Netflix? Oh, yeah, Raw was on last night. Maybe I'll go check that out. Because for Raw, it's not just, hey, you're on Netflix, but it's just the accessibility and how easy it is to just fall into if you're someone who peripherally pays attention to wrestling. And now it's so accessible because you don't have to go and set the recording and do all these different things. You just flip it around on Netflix. And I guess that's why I still look at that as the biggest show of the week. Yes, was it the best wrestling show of the week? No, we had two New Japan shows this week. All right, like, no, from a wrestling standpoint, it wasn't the best wrestling show. But for, like, the industry as a whole, like, that's such a big deal to have pro wrestling on Netflix because of how easy it's going to be accessible.
I think that's all fair, but I think from a WWE standpoint and storylines and moving things forward, I don't know if it was the best of the last 6 days. SmackDown was really good last week. Like, I think led by the Tiffy cash-in, which the cash-in's always going to get a pop and always going to be memorable. But I felt like this was different in the way she did it. Like, the fact that she swerved it, then it took out the ref, but then actually took out Nia and actually did cash in. That was really well done on Friday.
It was really well done. But here's my problem with SmackDown on Friday is that Cody Rhodes is a damn liar. But here he's telling me he wasn't cleared. Like, he didn't just wrestle a bunch of times during the holiday tour.
That is fair.
I'm not clear because I was attacked by Kevin Owens. Well, dude, that happened weeks ago, and you defended the championship against Kevin Owens like seven damn times.
Man, that
what
is
are we
accurate.
Talking about it?
I did see one of those in Miami. But, like, you had a good tag match, and the solo the
tag
and
match
segment I thought were really good. Like, you had a lot of good. But for me, you mentioned Japan. The $10 for New Japan World, hopefully it's only $10, and I remember to cancel, but, you know, I'm still working on my Rosetta Stone Japanese, so we'll see how that goes. But not Wrestle Kingdom, but Wrestle Dynasty. I don't know who ran this show, to be honest. I don't know if it was an AEW show, if it was a New Japan show.
It wasn't AEW because the English announcer who decided to go all in and go after AEW, I assure you Tony Khan was not backstage in that man's ear.
And apparently they weren't allowed to promote it because of the Max relationship and because it's a separate streaming app. Whatever it was, that was a really damn good wrestling show. It started late Saturday. You know, I was not watching live at 11 p.m. Eastern, but like top to bottom, that was damn good this week. And I recommend anyone the $10 to get New Japan World, if you know you only do 1 month, well worth just that show alone is Wrestle Dynasty.
I mean, you got the return of Kenny Omega, right? Like at Wrestle right. Dynasty. Like that is such a big deal. And man, was he a bloody mess.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy. Like, and I think Mox was Kenny jealous Omega watching
things.
That.
Like Kenny Omega still did Kenny Omega things to the point where you're like, are we still going to see it? Because, you know, you hear the medical things. You hear that he was essentially on his deathbed. I didn't know if we were ever going to see that again. He's good to go.
Which, honestly, then he shows up on Wednesday, and it ends up being a good show for AEW. It all kind of ends up tying together. Like, I feel like AEW is in a pretty strong point a couple of shows in to 2025. I think they just need to get the championship off of Mox, as much as that pains me to say. Yeah. I don't know if we end up getting – it seems like Cope is ready to be that guy. And again, it ends up kind of burning, you know, okay, you're hoping to give maybe somebody younger a rub because Mox's the one who takes out Danielson and kind of like Brock Lesnar being the one to end the streak. Like,
right.
And then nothing really happening from that.
But young kind of artists like the Rock and Roll Express are getting big time spots on Saturday night.
That's true. I mean, hey, I did enjoy Mox like kidnapping them. Like, I enjoyed that. Like, that was enjoyable.
They tweeted they're going to get their revenge. So, you know, that's where the comeuppance will come from.
Doubt it. But again, like, I think there's so many different interesting ways you can go. And the fact that right now Mox being champ is no longer the strongest thing on the show because you have so many other things going on, whether it's MJF coming out to run down Jeff Jarrett in the year of our Lord 2025 and somehow that being a good segment. Still, like, I don't want to see Double J even wrestle for a world championship in 2025, but I appreciate Max coming out off. Like, if he would have said yes to Max, that would have become interesting that he decided to say no. But again, you have that. You've got Ospreay and the different things that he's doing, and you have Kenny Omega, and you have the Hurt Syndicate, you know, threatening the tag titles. You have Hot Girl Graps, or what are they calling it on Saturday? Is that was this Hot Girl Graps?
Yeah, Hot Girl Graps. I think that's what they said, yes.
Yeah, so, you've got that promo backstage promoting Saturday. Like, I feel like the women's division's in a really strong spot. And a lot of other good things going on where once they get that championship off of Mox, they can really start cooking in 2025.
And we got a women's casino gauntlet. I saw someone tweet out, like, is there a way for Tony to pull out the three faces of Foley in that match? Can Tony Storm somehow make that happen?
Well, but the problem is, like, Foley could do that because he got eliminated, right?
Right.
Like,
he could disappear.
I don't know how you do that in the casino gauntlet because there's no eliminations.
But, like, we saw last night, Jarrett got chased off. So, like, you know, Rockstar Tony comes out, gets chased off or something, and then comes back as, you know, Timeless Tony. And then maybe there's a new one that we don't know about right now. That would be a hell of a moment from her.
Yeah, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready for Amnesia Timeless Tony to be, like, done. Like, I'm still very much enjoying her. Like, the interview she did, like, where she's so disappointed in herself after, like, you know, I'm just this young kid and clearly I'm just not ready for this opportunity. You know, I thought I was, and I just got to look myself in the mirror and maybe one day this will happen for me. Like, it shouldn't be this good, Brian, but it's really damn good. But I felt the same way about Timeless. Like, it had no right being as good as it was. And because she is who she is, she turned it into something iconic and memorable.
And they've also done an amazing job on social media where they do a lot of good stuff, which you could just put on TV, of her backstage and like going up to different people like, hey, do you mind watching my match and giving me feedback? Hey, can you watch my match? And like Daniel Garcia's in it. And like, I think Jerry Lynn's in it. They look at her like, what? And then at one point she goes up to Luther and she's like, oh, so nice to meet you. Like, would you mind giving me feedback on my match? And then like, he gives her that look also. So like, she is doing everything.
I missed this video. Wait, yes. Luther's still around? Like, yes, Luther's just wandering around backstage at AEW? What's going on?
Yeah, so it was on their social. Like, it's her asking her for feedback. She's like, oh, like, you know, I love to play pranks. At one point, there are fans outside taking a selfie, and she ends up in it, like, because she's just so happy to be there. And these fans are like, wait a minute. Like, so it's very good.
I think we're in a really good spot. But this is the time pro wrestling's supposed to be shining. That road to WrestleMania kind of lifts everybody, and AEW needs to be on top of their game. Especially, again, with them being on Max. It's the same thing. It's the same thing as being on Netflix, other than, I mean, there's probably more Netflix subscribers than Max subscribers. But again, if you're a fan of professional wrestling, you're like, oh, what should I be watching on Max? Oh, here's AEW Dynamite. And you can go back and watch it because it's very accessible.
I'll say from personal experience, literally last week, that first one, I'm in holiday mode where you have no idea what day it is. You don't know what the date is. So I literally fired up Max to watch a movie. I'm like, all right, let's see what they have. And I was like, oh, wait, it's AEW. I was like, oh, I can watch Dynamite right now. Like, I completely forgot, and literally just being on the app, I'm like, oh, how about that? So I imagine that happens to others.
That's why these streaming deals are going to be massive. And hopefully, we can end ratings discourse on wrestling Twitter.
That would be nice.
Because, I mean, just having it be accessible, not everybody's going to watch when it's live, but they're still going to be able to access it, I think, is huge. What do we got at number two this week?
Well, sticking with AEW, you mentioned the Casino Gauntlet. It was won by Powerhouse Hobbs last night, which means next week, him and Mox for the title in Cincinnati. Was Hobbs the right choice to win the Casino Gauntlet?
Yeah, he was the right choice because he's not going to win next week in Cincinnati, and that's completely okay. Like, he's kind of this tweener right now where he's kind of a baby face. And you know, I like the promo that he ended up cutting against Mox, but I think Mox is going to be pretty much cheered in his hometown of Cincinnati next week when they're there for that. I think they're going to put on a good match. I think that's, you know, going to be somebody who is getting a little bit of a rub for, you know, finally winning something, finally winning a match, which is not something that we typically see from Powerhouse Hobbs or the Murder Hawk Monster or Brian Cage or insert big man from AEW here. So the fact that he gets
Kenny next week, so maybe that'll be Brian's big moment.
Tough for Cage. Tough. So yeah, I think that that's a situation where, you know, you don't want him. He's going to eat the pin and it's not going to be that big of a deal because, I mean, later in the show, you've got, you know, Cope cutting a promo about getting his hands on Mox. So even Cope isn't taking, which is always tough, right? Like you got somebody, you know what the next match is going to be, and yet you got to pretend like the first one matters. I think it's good for Powerhouse. I think he was really showcased well. I think that match was fantastic in terms of the way everybody was able to be showcased last night. Ultimately, I think he's the right choice because it doesn't make sense to have Mox go up against Hangman Page or Jay White, you know, and so any of those other guys that were in there. It makes the most sense for somebody where it's not going to affect him all that much. And I think that's where Powerhouse is.
Yeah, and I wish AEW did more of this. I wish they took those opportunities to be different and say, yeah, we're going to have a world title match on TV. Because the few times they've done it, when you know the result going in, we knew Hook wasn't going to beat Joe. We knew, was it Garcia? Or no, it was Ricky Starks. We knew he wasn't going to beat MJF. But we got a hell of a match. And those two delivered, and it was a good opportunity for those two. Ultimately, because it's AEW, the follow-up doesn't always match the actual moment. But this can be a great opportunity for Hobbs in the main event. You do a few near falls where you say, well, maybe this is going to happen, even though you know it's not. And I think looking at everyone that was in that match, and it was star-studded, this was the right opportunity. When he came out, it was one of those light bulbs that are like, oh, this is who needs to win. Like, I didn't think about him beforehand. Then once he came out, I was like, this is who they need to go with. They did, and I think we're going to get a great main event next week.
Ricochet had the best entrance, though, right?
So good.
Faking the Swerve's house.
Yes.
And then his annoying little laugh, like, into his music. I didn't really think I'd enjoy Ricochet as a heel, especially this version of him, as much as I have.
And the moment in the match where they're throwing him back and forth. Like, that was really well done. Like just tossing him.
Is somebody else in charge of the creative right now in AEW? Because it feels different, doesn't it? And maybe it is some of these small arenas that they're now in that they've been trying to and said they were going to get to. And the crowds just seem very much alive, very much into it, very much invested. And that makes the TV product that much more enjoyable.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, like we talked about a little bit ago, like the Mox, the Death Riders, that honestly feels like the only thing missing at this point. Like even the little tidbit of the Ospreay match, and we know the Ospreay matches will always deliver, but doing the thing with Buddy Matthews after, and we'll get to a news note. It looks like Malakai Black is done there. Like, that is some intrigue. You're like, oh, maybe there's something there. And then him making the save at the end. Like, everything's clicking outside of the world title right now.
Which is why I think they're probably – who knows if that was their plan, but my guess is they get it off of him. And it's going to be – I think they'll give it to Cope in early March, if not before then.
So we do – so the women's casino gauntlet next week, the winner gets an opportunity in Australia, which – doesn't feel like they're treating like a big pay-per-view. Honestly, I don't even know if it is a pay-per-view. Like, if we have to pay to watch it.
I don't think so. I don't think so. So, yeah, I guess I have to do more research for it. But the only thing that – because, again, professional wrestling's always going to, you know, be promoting the next big event. Revolution's the thing that they're putting up on the Jumbotron, right? Like, if you look up and just kind of in the periphery when it's in the corner at, like, where the Jumbotron is, where the wrestlers come in and out – Revolution in March, on March 9th, is what is being featured on that video board. It, like, to the point where I completely forgot that Grand Slam Australia was going to be a thing until they announced the women's gauntlet match. It's like, oh, they're getting a shot at, oh.
Right. Well, so looking on their side, it doesn't say anything about viewing, just buying tickets. It does air at 5:30 p.m. Australian time, which for those of you calculating at home, and by that I mean I Googled it, that would be 2:30 a.m. Friday here in Florida. So I don't think that'll be live.
No, it doesn't really seem like it.
So I guess it's just Collision that night?
I guess.
And maybe they do live stuff there? Like, I feel like if you're going to Australia, you want more than a two-hour show.
I mean, maybe, but maybe they do, they just tape 4 hours. They tape both Dynamite and Collision there. So maybe the show locally ends up being 4 hours, and then it ends up being, you know, the week's worth of shows back here in the States.
Okay, that's fine. So I guess from a women's standpoint, Tony wins that, right? And then get the
title
shot. I mean,
she's got to be – you have to have her in a pretty featured match if you're going to be going to Australia. That only makes sense to me, but doesn't always make sense in the land of AEW.
That is a very well point.
Yeah, so I don't think – but I also don't think that they would take the belt off of Mox in the middle of the night.
Right, agreed. On a tape.
Like as much as high of hopes as I had for the Mox storyline and the Death Riders, and as much as it's fallen flat over the last month or so, they still have way too much respect for Mox to have him lose in Australia. Maybe it happens on TV. That happened to him before when he lost at Winter Is Coming to Kenny Omega. But my guess is it ends up riding out to Revolution, and that's when Copeland takes him out. And then maybe we finally get that Christian Cage cash in, and that kicks off something between Cope and Christian.
That's fine. Darby Allin, by the way, speaking of Australia, in an interview with Fightful, he said, everyone's always like, what are you going to jump off of at Wembley? I'm like, the commission is so strong, they won't let me do anything. But I don't know what the commission is like in Australia. I have no idea. I don't know if the commission's rocking, then I'm rocking. So there's that.
Just a crazy individual, man. Like him and Kevin Owens, just like constantly trying to find crap that they can just jump off of. What do we got at number three this week?
All right, we talked about Raw on Netflix. One of the negative parts of that night is the one Hulk Hogan was booed by fans. Apparently he was disappointed backstage.
Was it a negative?
Yeah, I guess you're right there. Well, reports out now that apparently not the last time we're going to see the Hulkster. They might still trot him back out there. Maybe it's a heel now. So is this the right move from the WWE?
No. Like the fans just told you, and maybe you want to see it from somebody else because maybe you're going, well, it's California. And then the reason, and again, the number one thing that you saw online, well, he was being booed because of his political beliefs. Dude, Undertaker is like, I understand Taker didn't speak at the convention. But, like, Taker also had Donald Trump on his podcast. Like, if politics had anything to do with it, Wouldn't Taker also have been booed? No, he got a big pop when American Badass started playing through the speakers like it was 2002 out
and
there
the
in Los Angeles.
Song also aligns with Taker.
Correct. So, right? Like everybody. So I don't think it really had anything to do with politics more. And Mark Henry had a really good quote. I can't remember where it was. I was reading about it earlier today about how, no, man, like it's just more of he thinks that it's catching up to Hogan, what he said, all the things he said, the fact that he hasn't really been remorseful about any of it, hasn't shown any interest in making anything up to anybody, and kind of just showing the world who Terry Bollea is. And wrestling fans are rejecting that. Like, not, it has nothing to do with his politics. Because, again, like, there's left and right all over the world, you know, all over professional wrestling and the political game. So I don't think that's the issue. I think fans are just sick of Hulk Hogan. So the problem is, like, what are you going to do? You're going to trot him out there as a heel? Like, you're going to trot him out there as Hollywood Hulk Hogan? Like, he's running the NWO again? Like, that's like he's just going to get booed again. And there's a reason why when legends come back, they're always babyface.
Right.
Because people want to cheer those legends. And also, heels get comeuppance. Heels have to eat it. And, like, no legend is going to come back. Like, Hogan, I don't want to see Hulk Hogan in the ring.
No.
I don't want to see him, like, you know, getting beat up at this point. I just don't want to see him on my television. This isn't the type of heat you can make money off of. This is the no get off of my screen type of heat. And I think they're going to learn. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe the next time they trot him out there, even if they don't play real American and instead they're, you know, playing the NWO theme, he's going to get booed still. And it's not going to be a good type of booing.
I completely agree. And it's surprising to hear this because of who Terry Bollea is and because they are so corporate now, like, that's the only reason Vince isn't around anymore. If it wasn't for TKO, if it wasn't for Netflix, the WWE would have put their head in the sand like, oh no, Vince wants to come back. We're going to let him come back. We saw what happened on that SmackDown when all the Vince allegations came out. He got to do a goodbye. Like, there was the awkward thank you Vince chance. Like, that happened. And then as TKO gets involved, they're like, yeah, we can't do that anymore. We can't be associated. I'm surprised Hogan's not in that same boat right now.
So here is the quote from Mark Henry. It's a little long, so staying with me. But apparently it was via TMZ. Anytime that you consider the Mount Rushmore and top 10 wrestling all time, Hogan is always going to be in that top 10. But right now, with the social climate and the things that he's said and done, it's his lack of effort to try and fix it. People are going to come down on him. I never had an issue with him before. I heard all the stuff. And even then, I believe in giving second chances. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm a fix-it person. I'm not going to dwell on the negative. I'm not going to talk about the past. We're going forward. And he never wanted to go forward and fix it. So that's what happens when you think that everything's going to go away. It's not going to go away. He thinks it's going to go away, and it's not going to be that dark cloud over his career. You know, I offered to say, hey, let's do a tour of black colleges and explain what happened. He didn't want to do that. Like, Mark Henry is universally beloved, and when he's reaching out for to help you and you say no to that, like, this is only going to continue to hurt Hulk. Like, I just... you don't need him anymore. Like, there's no reason to trot him out there. And at least if you're going to trot him out there, don't have Jimmy Hart be with him. Like, poor Jimmy Hart just got to sit there just waving the American flag as everybody's booing.
You have everyone that can fill that role. Like, Dwayne is coming here and there. You have Cena for a year. Cody is Cody. Like, you have people to fill that role that you don't need him out there. Like you said, like, when WWE was in the mud and not doing well, like, you needed him every few months on Raw to get people to tune in because no one wanted to watch guest hosts and some of the crap they put out there. You don't need that right now. You're hot. The product is good. Like, I don't understand the logic behind this.
Yeah. And again, if they just think it's a political thing, I don't see that. If Kane is an actual political figure.
Yes.
Who very aligns with Hulk, with Undertaker, with that side of the aisle, you bring back Kane, he's not getting booed.
No.
Kane is going, like, you start hearing that music, people are going to cheer for Kane. Like, that's, I don't think that's it. And it just seems like a miscalculation. And I don't know, like, was Hunter ever that tight with Hogan? I guess
right.
I don't know. I know he was tight with, obviously, the other two members of the original NWO, but I don't think that those two went, yeah, hey, we're tight with Hulk, let's bring him in. It was just kind of a necessity of the business at the time. But I don't think, like, because Hunter's tight with Kevin Nash, that they would bring in Hulk. It just, none of it makes sense to me.
Yeah, and I don't get why this is the hill they die on. Like, that should have been the rude awakening on Monday. Like, oh, like, okay, yeah, we'll still put the beer on the map, but this isn't going to work anymore. Like, it just, it's so
odd. Unless, do you think appearances were a part of the deal they signed with the beer?
Oh, God. I guess it's possible knowing him. But, like, I don't, like, literally someone tweeted out within the last week of him taking pictures of people that have, like, the Nazi logo on their arm. Like, this is, Terry Bollea has killed Hulk Hogan. Like, it's not the fan. It is what Terry Bollea has done. Like, fans want to cheer him. Fans want to cheer that music. But it can't be separated anymore. And he dug that grave.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I guess we'll see what happens next time he comes out, because apparently we're going to get more of Hulk Hogan. But I don't even know why. Like, right. What do you need?
If you need that nostalgia pop, if that's what they're going for, because they think more casual, like, Ric Flair will answer the phone. Nate will answer, and Nate will come out there, and you can get the same thing done.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I understand in that instance, because it's such a big show, and you want to, you know, show your history and have that nostalgia. But, like, going forward, like, what point does Hulk Hogan coming out in the middle of February serve?
Right.
Right? Like, on February 3rd, after the Royal Rumble, why would Hulk Hogan need to come out? I don't know what purpose that serves, because the only thing he's going to do is, you know, what you gonna do, brother, when Netflix and my beer and racism run wild on you? Like, that's the only thing he can do at this point. It doesn't serve any other purpose. Like, learn your lesson. Just have him, okay, all right, hey, thanks, Hulk. Maybe we'll still invite you to some of the Hall of Fame stuff, but we don't need to put you on television expecting a big pop for you. Because, again, it just doesn't make sense to have him come out as a heel. So that you have so many people in the back. Like, if you just want someone to come out and run down the crowd, just have The Miz come out.
Right. Yeah, that'll serve the same purpose.
So, yeah, that's I just don't get that. What do we got news and notes this week?
All right, we have some contract news to start things off. Fightful reporting Malachi Black's deal is up at the end of 24 or early 25. They're now saying many in the company believe he is, quote, finishing up with AEW if he hasn't already. He did deny reports back in November, but it looks like his time is done in AEW.
I know he's got an indie date coming up here soon that I saw attached with one of the stories that I was reading about that he's got that they're already promoting for that.
Yes, here in Florida, actually, in Tampa this weekend.
I don't know if he makes sense in WWE.
I agree. And he's such a good storyteller, and, like, you don't want to just give him a different gimmick, but you also can't give him free reign. Like, it's sort of that Bray F thing where, like, I don't want to see him throw there.
No, because, I mean, and that's the thing with, like, you can't have too many supernatural things going on at the same time, right? And the Wyatt Six hasn't really been hitting there, because, again, turns out Bray Wyatt was the special engine behind all of that that made it all work. So but at the same time, like, I just don't want to see him come back and be a regular wrestler in WWE. So he's certainly somebody who can make quite a bit of money on the independent scene, without a doubt. Yeah. And maybe he goes that route to showcase his talent. I don't know. He doesn't seem like WWE would be the right answer for him.
And I think that's fine. I am hopeful. And we say it all the time when we see House of Black, like, everything they do works. I don't think he was the one holding back, you know, Buddy and Brody, but, like, maybe they give a fresh set of paint now. And, like, they get those guys go up to the tag about something like that. Cause every time those guys are in the ring, they deliver. So maybe this is the jump start for those two now.
Yeah. Well, and Julia Hart. Like, I mean, Julia, since she's come back, I mean, she still has the dark entrance and the dark gimmick, but she hasn't really been seen with any members of the House of Black. And I think maybe that was them just putting out there, like, hey, this group is kind of breaking up.
Yep. Other contract news. WWE was reported this week that Becky Lynch has signed a new deal with the company. She is reportedly part of, quote, high level WrestleMania plans moving forward.
Yeah, at this point, she just comes back at the Rumble, right? Like, she didn't make the appearance. She didn't come out on Netflix. the Royal Rumble, having her be an early entrance there, getting a big pop in Indianapolis makes the most sense.
I agree, and I think that's great. The one thing I'm baffled by is why they've ruined their own surprise. She's been doing the promotional stuff. She's in the commercial for Raw on Netflix. Like, her free agency was a story for a little bit. Like, it'll still get a pop at the Rumble, but, like, why are you telling us all this?
Yeah, it's a shame it got out, but, you know, again, like, you... But I honestly believe that at some point their plans had to have changed around Raw because she was too heavily involved in the promotion not to be involved in that show. Like, and they just decided, I don't know if like Taker took her spot. Like they decided to do a celebration thing for instead of having her come out and confront Rhea. And
yeah, you had to do a fluffy promo backstage. That'll fill more time. Like,
yeah, I don't know, man, but it's... Yeah, she was way too heavily involved for anything else to make sense.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Rumble, the 2026 Rumble has a location. It will not be in your neck of the woods in Milwaukee. Well, it'll be a little bit further. The announced that it will be in Saudi Arabia. Crown Jewel, Elimination Chamber, King and Queen of the Ring have already been hosted there. And now we will see the Rumble in 2026.
I hate it. It's my favorite event. And not that I hate that it's going to be over. It just Royal Rumble in the middle of the day just doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel right. But it seems to me like this is almost a compromise because they have such a lucrative deal with Saudi Arabia. And the last time they were over there, like Saudi was hard pushing for, hey, we should have a WrestleMania here. Would be great if we had Mania here. And Hunter was like, So it seems like this was the compromise of, oh, we'll still give you one of our big events. We'll give you the Royal Rumble, but you ain't ever getting a Mania.
How about, like, you know, Survivor Series? Like, they don't seem to care about that one, but you can say, like, oh, it's one of our big four. You really want it, right?
Or like, even Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank's fine, you know? It's just, I love the Royal Rumble. But by the way, I think 2027 is the one that we're shooting for here in Milwaukee. I think that's the one we want. So we can go from Saudi Arabia to Milwaukee. Much like when we hosted the Ryder Cup here, they went from Paris to Sheboygan, Wisconsin to Rome.
All right. That seems pretty similar. Finally, in news and notes, Jeff Hardy was on the Sports Guys Talking Wrestling podcast, says if he were living his clean life like he is right now, then, quote, I would probably be bigger than John Cena. I was born with such a gift to be a pro wrestler.
Jeff. Jeff, buddy. Jeff, I love you. And look, you were born with this natural gift of wrestling. You absolutely were. It's a big reason why no matter where you go, you're going to get cheers. You're going to get pops. And like, no, I just, no. Like, I don't see, and maybe it's hard because he's had so many, you know, run-ins and so many suspensions and different things that have happened over his career where he's been pretty unreliable. Like, John Cena's the most stand-up dude in the history of professional wrestling.
Right.
Like, they couldn't turn him heel because he was doing too many make-a-wishes. And I mean, I've seen some of the incredible interviews as of late where, you know, he was talking about how he was ready and was, they almost turned him heel. I can't remember what year it was. And he was ready, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to sell any more merch. I can't do any more of the, you know, because he was going to live it. Like, you know, he had to, you know, away from the camera, still, you know, old school, live, you know, the kayfabe gimmick of being a heel, and he couldn't do the make-a-wish things, and they ultimately pulled the plug. But like, that dude has the record for most make-a-wishes ever. Like, that's no, like, I don't know if anybody could have ever done that. Like, I don't know if anybody could have been as big as John Cena was in that era with children. It's just, it's, I can't wrap my head around how important and how big Cena was.
Yeah. And I think there is something to the sort of the PC-ish culture of like the clean cut and what John is. Like, Jeff does not look like John Cena. And, you know, that would probably be used against him also. And yes, he had his moments and addiction sort of ruined a lot of those, but a little ambitious here from Jeff.
Biggest Cena.
Yep.
Yeah, and I could have been as big as Ric Flair. Like, come on, man. Like, it's the same thing. Like, it's just as preposterous.
Yeah.
Oh, what do we have for matches of the week? I think we got a lot of options.
We have so many options.
I mean, are you just listing all the matches that happened in the New Japan shows?
I wrote three from that show, and then I have three outside of that show also.
Okay. So we have a Wrestle Dynasty division and a non-Wrestle Dynasty division.
Yes. So in terms of Wrestle Dynasty, Kenny Omega versus Gabe Kidd. I think this is the first Gabe Kidd match I've seen. Like, I've seen his promos on social. I don't know if I've ever actually watched one of his matches. And I want to watch other stuff now because I feel like Kenny sort of ruins things because you just assume, even if it's a broomstick, like, oh, that guy looks great.
Yeah.
But that match delivered. Kenny Omega, the heel in that match, because Gabe was the one representing New Japan and he's the guy that's been there. But a hell of a match. The blood.
I did not see the match. I saw the some of the post-match stuff where Kenny's like, oh, I come, you know, you boo me after everything I've given you. So, yeah, I thought it was interesting that he was kind of a heel in that situation.
So that was the co-main event. The actual main event was Zack Sabre Jr. and Ricochet. And knowing who those two are, should it surprise you that match delivered?
Yeah, say less.
Yes. Right. So that was amazing. Okay. And then the third one.
I got to find a way to watch that. Okay.
Yep. $10, learn your Japanese. The opening match was part of their pre-show, a four-way women's match. It was the end of that women's cup, so where everyone qualifying. Momo Wanabeo, Willow, Athena, and Pear Stephanie, so CMLL, Ring of Honor, AEW, New Japan, all represented. I'd say that four-way was better than the one we saw at World's End in the main event.
Ooh, okay.
So, but yeah, that card top to bottom. Bravo. Takeshita's amazing. Claudio, Brody King, which shouldn't surprise you. He delivered in his match with David Finlay. The Young Bucks doing Young Bucks things and actually winning the tag belts. So a lot happened on that show. Yes, they're the new Japan tag champs. So,
okay, good for them.
But that show, top to bottom, delivered.
All right, so since I did not watch those, I went outside of that, obviously starting with Ospreay and Buddy last night. Yep, that was spectacular. Crossed it off. I know that the Tiffany Stratton cash-in was like the most important thing, but Naomi and Nia were really good before that.
Yeah,
like shockingly good. And I feel like we've done this like six or seven times with Nia since she's come back at this point. But that match, even before, and then when you factor in like the cash-in happened and you put it all in one, like that was just a really good part of SmackDown. But I really enjoyed Naomi versus Nia Jax. I thought that was spectacular.
I agree. Like a hell of a job by Naomi and really spotlighting her. Those near falls, I believed. I was like, oh, is Naomi going to win this? And it's funny because I didn't watch SmackDown live and I got spoiled on social that Tiffany cashed in. So watching that match back, I thought Naomi won and Tiffany cashed in on her.
Yeah.
So I thought that's how they were going to do it. So like watching it back, I'm like, oh, this was really well done. But yeah, that was a great match from those two. And Nia's improvement, like I don't feel like we don't talk about it enough. We've credited her night and day from where she was a few years ago.
Yeah. So apparently we just don't care about Nia having to be on her feet to start that match. Or is that because no referee was there? Because like the referee wasn't in the ring and then he slid in after she hit the prettiest moonsault ever.
AEW-ish, you know, it's wrestling. You suspend disbelief. The other one I'll throw in there from the women's division, from NXT. Julia wins the NXT women's title over Roxanne on Tuesday night. That match delivered. I watched bits and pieces of that NXT show, New Year's Evil. Yeah, there we go. New women's champion of Julia. Obafemi wins the NXT world title. Talked about him a lot. He is a star. And then The Rock ended NXT by just rambling in the ring and missing the heart out.
Oh, he missed the heart out? I thought he nailed the heart out.
No, he's like, if you smell what The Rock is, missed cooking. Oh, we didn't get cooking in there.
Got Greg Cody. Yeah. Got Greg Cody on the heart out. That's tough.
He was right there. He was aware of it. He knew it was coming. And he just sort of rambled and said nothing of significance. They did do a backstage with him and Ava, his daughter. Yep. But don't acknowledge it. They just were like, oh, this feels like a big moment. So it's sort of tongue in cheek. So there's
why
that.
Why don't you acknowledge it?
I don't know. I guess so she can do her own thing. And
but everybody knows.
Right. Yep. There is like, that.
Okay. What percentage of people that are watching NXT have no idea that the general manager of that show is the daughter of Dwayne Johnson?
10% maybe?
Yeah, it's low. I'll tell you that. It's low. And I threw the casino gauntlet down too, just because I thought it was really well done and he ended up with a surprise winner. I thought that was a lot of fun last night. So I put that on.
I agree.
Whew, big week of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Exhausting week of pro wrestling. We get back to more of a little bit of a regular dynamic. I am really curious to see what a regular night of Monday Night Raw looks like on Netflix, which we'll certainly get this week, but we continue to build, whether it's towards Grand Slam in Australia for AEW, towards the Royal Rumble and Saturday night's main event for WWE. Building towards all those things, we'll talk them all, about them all, next week right here on GKW.